our guests this morning, and their manager hopefully is on with us, but a couple of spectacular guests that we want to hear from. The email that went out from Bruno said, have you written $40,000 in a month? If not, tune into today's call, because these guys did it in a week. These guys did it in 1 week, and frankly, they did it in about 3 to 4 days tops. So we want to hear from them.
Anyway, that you got to make
Tammy Lowther. Tammy, are you with us?
Good morning.
Good morning, Tammy. Let me just say this to everybody. Please email me questions during this call if you have questions for these folks. We won't open it up so that we can hear all the background noise. Please email if you have questions. My email address, again, is fitz@thefitzgrouponline.com, or shoot an email to your manager, and he can shoot it to me. But we want to make sure we get the proper questions asked to these folks. Tammy, after 3 weeks, you just heard it from Heather. She's at $62,000, roughly, after 3 weeks in this month. And the first week of the month, she ran right at $44,590. Cornell, are you there?
Yes, sir.
Cornell is at $38,577 after 3 weeks, and he did that last week. That's amazing. We were looking yesterday at the leaderboards from March of 2003 that the Fitz Group ran, and we were proud of Todd for running $15,000 a month. You guys just both you did triple that in a week. So Tammy's, and this is, I thought this was interesting last night when I was kind of looking through numbers. The first week of this month, guys, Tammy did $44,590. Her previous best month was in April, and it was a five-week month, and she did $44,000. So the first week of May, she equaled her best month, which was a month of 5 weeks. Okay? That's how staggering what she did. Cornell, it was funny because Cornell's one of the same months. Cornell's previous best month was also in April, a five-week month. He finished off at $32,778. So MVP, in 1 week, you beat your previous best month. Isn't that wild? And it was a five-week month. It wasn't just a month. It was 5 weeks. Anyway, Ralph, are you with us too? I wasn't sure if Ralph was going to be able to get into the host code. Okay. Well, here's some questions I have initially from you guys, and we're starting to have some questions come in from the folks in the field, so we will ask those as well. Tammy, so far this month, Nate, where do you live?
One other part somewhere already.
Is there any way you can we can make you louder? Okay.
Can you hear me now?
A lot better. A lot better. You are where?
I'm right outside of Houston.
Right outside of Houston.
Right.
Okay. And I'm jotting down notes, as I hope everybody else is. And where, of that 62,000, where have you done that production?
It was out of town. Yeah, most of it. Actually, I'd have to say about 20,000 of it was right here.
Okay.
It was right here.
20,000 in Houston.
So
and that leaves about 42,000 that you did elsewhere. You don't have to say that location. I'll tell you guys, give us an idea. You live in Houston. How far of a plane flight was it?
It was
how long?
A little less than 2.5 hours.
2.5 hour plane flight. Okay, we'll leave it at that. And it was, we'll just say it was northwest of where you live.
Okay.
Which eliminates half the country only. You know, there's still a whole half of the country that nobody knows where you went.
Okay.
2.5 hours away, you did the other 42,000. And why did you decide to leave Houston and go 2.5 hours by plane away to run production?
Well, start off with Houston is really, really big.
Okay.
So the appointments are usually here and home. At home, they're an hour apart, you know, driving. So that was one of the reasons. The leads are phenomenal. You know, y'all have a lot of leads. And I got a place that it was all really, really close. And my appointments were, I think the farthest one was 20 minutes away. So I backed up appointments one right after the other.
How many appointments did you have? I mean, we're talking about that the $44,590 you did in a weekend. How many appointments did you have?
Ask on 30.
I
think I had
about 30.
30 appointments?
20 to 30. I don't know right off the top of my head. About 20 to 30.
And do you remember how many of those you actually sat on?
Okay. And then these are, this is the lead agreement. Yeah.
I think there was only,
and
there was only about eight that might have canceled or no-showed, or there's only about eight.
Okay.
So I sat on, I think, the rest of them.
So you sat on at least 20, we'll call it 20 that you sat on roughly. And how many applications did you write?
I think it was 25.
25 applications. Did you close every appointment of the 20?
Going in the second page.
Yeah.
Signed.
You did?
I believe it was just about every one of them. There may have been one or two that I got there and there was just, you know, there was no closing it. I mean,
okay.
I tried my hardest and did what I could, but there was just nothing I could do.
Okay. And I was just last night kind of thumbed through and saw your paychecks the last 3 weeks. You're getting paid on that business now, right?
Oh, yeah. Hear me perk up now.
Those are real dollars I saw post to your commission statements. They were no joke. So the question comes about, and everybody asks this, what product were you selling the most of?
Home Certain.
Home Certain, or they've been calling it Commission Certain.
They were Commission Certain. That's pretty much all that's pretty much it.
When you don't write Home Certain, why don't you write Home Certain?
Mainly because they're too old.
Too old?
Too old.
Okay.
That's the only reason.
And so that would be somebody who's over the age of 70.
Right.
And what are you selling at that point?
Term trim.
Term trim?
I think I had a couple that were term trim and a couple that were saver select, depending on, you know, it was either their mortgage was really high or they were over 70.
Okay.
So withhold 2%.
Okay, mortgage high or over 70. Gotcha. Let me just make sure everybody on the phone knows. Term Trends is a term product that's available through age 75. So it's not a terrible thing if you have that niche market between 71 and 75. And Saver Select is, I mean, that's a bread and butter product that we train in the initial training class. So, you know what? Just got an email across for you, Tammy. It says, when does Tammy find the best time to reach people to schedule an appointment, and how does she set the appointment?
What they're doing, because I think Americom's like,
that's a great question too. I call my lead every morning and every evening. It doesn't really matter what they put on the form, call in the morning, call in the evening. If they don't answer in the morning, I'll call them in the evening. 6 to 9 at night, every night, 6 to 9. If I'm not running appointments, I'm calling every single one of them.
And what was the morning times?
Morning, I don't call before 9 in the morning. Usually about 9 to noon.
9 to
noon. You won't have to. Okay.
Then if I have a time in the afternoon, I'll try to call some of those. But the best time, literally, are early in the morning, 9 to 12, or 6 to 9 at night.
You can put new agents.
You won't just leave this blank, or?
Well, if you want to.
Sorry, emails are coming across. I didn't mean to just leave you hanging there.
Thursday, you can have a check.
Hey, Fred.
Yes.
Yeah, finally got on, buddy.
Hey, King Clifford.
We'll start.
King Ralph. Let's see, Tammy, it's
good to meet you, man.
I'll look forward to seeing you.
Okay, now you say on the Home Certain you've backed off if they were too old and gone to Term Trends, or if the mortgage is too high, you've backed off and gone to Saver Select. The question I've got now on email says, if Home Certain is too high of a cost, and Cornell, stick this in your brow, because address this when we come to you, because I know, I'm sure this was one that came across for you. But if Home Certain is cost-wise too expensive, do you, Tammy, ever back down to Saver Select or Term Trends to hit the budget?
No, I don't.
No, you don't? What do you do if you're showing... I mean, we've all heard Ralph, and I'm assuming you follow the simplistic system?
Yes.
Or you don't follow the Hudgens system? Okay. I don't know anybody in the Fitz group that still uses the Hudgens system. But but so following the simplistic system, you are what? You're showing them all the bells and whistles up front.
Yes.
Okay.
And then see what I can do for them that still, you know, still get them what they want. You know, start taking a few things off here and there. Something as simple as instead of the full disability for the mortgage, cut it in half. It's a lot easier to come up with half of your mortgage if, you know, you have a disability than it is to come up with the whole mortgage. And, you know, that'll cut it down a little bit. And sometimes that's all it takes, something as simple as that.
Okay. Got another question. This one's going to be for Cornell, so we'll hold that. Tammy, we'll ask you this, and we'll, I'm sure we'll come back to you after this question, but we're going to hit Cornell just a little bit here. Tammy, how do you make that many appointments for a short out-of-town trip, and are all these appointments made before you leave?
Yes, all the appointments are made before I leave because I MapQuest them before I leave. And I am on the phone steadily from 9 in the morning to 9 at night setting those appointments until I leave. And if I'll take some with me that say call back, you know, whenever, and in my car, I will call them on my cell phone.
Mm. So now on this trip that you took, and we'll keep the name disclosed, but or undisclosed rather. When did you get your leads for the trip? Did you get them all at one time, or did you have them for several weeks in a row?
No, I didn't have them several weeks.
So you got them on like a Tuesday? Okay, and when did you leave for the trip?
Thursday evening.
Thursday evening, so Tuesday when you got the leads, Wednesday, and then Thursday up until when you left, you were making phone calls.
Making phone calls. And that
like a demon.
Oh, yes, one after the other. I'd
okay.
go through the leads, and it'd take me, oh, about an hour to go through the leads, and then that would have been long enough for I could call the first one again.
There you go. And I guess that leads to the next question. How many leads did you actually have that you were working for this trip?
It was about 30. Yeah, it was about 30.
30. Holy cow. And you booked pretty close to 30 appointments.
I'm thinking it was between, it was, no, maybe it was 30 to 40.
Okay.
It
has been a couple of weeks, and you are at 62,000 for the month. It's not like that weekend was the only thing you've done.
It feels like it.
There you go.
You've been knocking it out every week. So you had about 40 leads. Looks like you booked about, and we'll say between 30 and 40 leads, and numbers that we have so far sounds like you booked between 20 and 30 appointments.
Yeah.
So those are decent numbers for sure. I mean, minimum. When you get a bulk number of leads like that, Tammy, how many appointments do you really expect? When you get 30 leads, how many appointments are you expecting to book?
I'm expecting 80%.
80% is what you expect. So you expect 24 out of 30 leads.
Yeah. I'm expecting 80% to book. And
that's why they had me call you that second time about the question.
60 to 70% fell.
And so they're not able because it's a non-medical
wow. 60 to 70% of the total leads, or 60 to 70% of the ones you sit on.
Of the ones that I put.
Oh wow.
60 to 70% of the appointments I'm trying to sell. For sure.
Okay. Wow. Into appointments. I'm jotting down notes because I think this is phenomenal stuff. I'm gonna commit this to memory so I can tell everybody. And then 60 to 70% in sales. All right. Let's see. Make sure of any of the questions that before I move on to Cornell. Let's see, we asked you that. How many leads did you take? How many appointments did you make? How many appointments did you sit on? How many appointments did you close? How many appointments did you write? What was the average mortgage size in this undisclosed location?
The mortgage size was fairly large. Between a low mortgage would have been $150,000. Yeah, that was a low mortgage, about $150,000, and high $500,000.
Okay, it's a pretty good range. What was the average age or health of the client? Were they all healthy, or were they
average? They were pretty healthy.
Pretty healthy.
Yeah.
And how old would you say your average client was? That just, and I'm talking about that weekend, not even all 62,000, but just that weekend that you traveled.
30s, 40s, and they're 30s, middle-aged.
30s to 40s. And that's your average. Obviously, you had some older.
Oh, yeah.
And obviously, you had some younger.
Had some younger.
That's the funny thing about averages. People hear that, and they expect everybody to be that average. But averages are made up of high numbers and low numbers. Right?
Right.
That's how you get the average. And what was the biggest selling point for the clients? What did you see most of your clients fired up about?
Return a premium.
Return a premium.
Well, okay. I could meet with you. I mean, you're...
And you said you sold mostly home certain. Okay. Well, Tammy, I'm going to put you on hold for a second. Not really. Just I'm going to go to Cornell for a second. I'm not physically putting you on hold. But Cornell, are you there?
MVP!
Mr. MVP himself.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, let me ask you this. Where did you go to run leads?
California.
Okay. I knew you would say it, and the reason I knew is because there's only like 1,000 leads in the surrounding area of the Los Angeles area, and in California as a whole, there's about 2,100 leads now. So, you know, when a state has 2,000 leads in inventory, it's no longer an undisclosed location.
Exactly.
Everybody needs to know about it. And it sounds like, you know, next weekend, there's going to be about 5 or 6 people out there.
I was plenty for everybody.
So you went to California, and where do you live?
I'm in Dallas, Texas.
Okay, you're in DFW. Why did you go to California from DFW to make these sales?
Because my MVP mentor, Ralph Simpson, did it first. And when I first came on, you know, he was going out every 2 weeks and closing $21,000, and then as a pup, I wanted to be like him when I grew up, so that was my goal, to step out of the box and travel to make more in a week than I do in a month.
Now they can tell you.
Cool. And that's the way to do it. See, I had a guy, a couple of agents actually, yesterday after the sales meeting, because yesterday during the sales meeting, we obviously highlighted people traveling. And we do that a lot now because, well, and that's why this guy was, you know, a couple of these agents, not just one, but a couple of agents were asking me, why are you emphasizing people traveling so much? Why are you saying, you know, so much about that? I said, well, these guys are taking a month's worth of production and they're doing it in a weekend. And you know what we're finding is even people who have a ton of leads in their home area are going other places to do this now. And it's, you're able to take a bulk amount of leads at one time. You're also able to focus your time. Is that right?
That's correct.
You got no other distractions but to go out there and write production.
None whatsoever.
Did I just cover the reasons that you travel, or is there anything else? I mean, that was it, right?
Oh, yeah.
You take a month's worth of production and put it in a week. Which you did. Your best month ever, you put it in a week.
Exactly.
Wow. Okay. How many leads did you take for this trip to California?
That was about 30 to 40.
Okay. And how many appointments did you make from that?
Set up about 16 appointments.
Okay.
And actually set on about 14.
Wow.
And actually closed right at 12 to 13 appointments. I actually closed 12 to 13 of those.
Oh, wow. So you actually closed 12 to 13. How many applications did that turn out to be? 13 applications.
Okay.
13 applications for $38,000. Let me divide this all out because we got to be exact about this on this call. That means he averaged just shy of $3,000 per case. Now, Cornell, there are some folks on this call that say, I can't average that in the area I live. What would you tell them?
You can't average that in the place you live. You need to get up and move.
You need to go somewhere else, right? I had a youth minister when I was a kid to say, you ain't got to go home, but you got to get the heck up out of here.
You got to get the heck up out of here. Unless, of course, you are complacent, and that's what you're pretty content with. But I don't think anyone on this call is content, because it's all about helping others. And when you help others, you go your pocketbook.
I like that. When you help others, that may be a quote that comes out in a blast email. You help others, you can fill your pocketbook. I don't carry around a pocketbook myself, but what was the average mortgage size that you were seeing, Cornell?
Average mortgage size was, it was anywhere from $150,000 to $500,000. If they're sporadically.
Okay.
You are okay.
And what was the average age or health of your client?
Average age was, I would say most of my people were average 40 and up.
40 plus.
Mm-hmm.
And were they mostly healthy, or did you have some health challenges?
Most of them were healthy. I thought health challenges, but for the most part, it was. And, you know, it's a numbers game again. The more people you see, the more challenges you're going to run into. But I had maybe two or three people who were diabetic, but it wasn't easy.
Now, when you were talking to folks on the phone, and Tammy, you may even speak up on this, were you guys weeding out anybody with health challenges on the phone, or were you just seeing everybody?
Never. I got what you need. I'm the
What about you, Tammy?
I do get pre-existing medical conditions on the phone.
Okay.
Okay.
And will you weed out an appointment?
Yes, it's something that I know is just impossible. You know,
okay.
If they tell me they just had a heart attack 2 days ago, you know?
Oof. Well, you know, we can sell them. If they're between the ages of 40 and 80, we can sell presidential.
That's true.
And, hey, and that's guaranteed to get issued. There's no underwriting problems with that thing.
That's true.
okay.
All right.
What I think is hysterical is these guys are knocking out huge production, and they're not writing a presidential case. You know, that's what I think is funny because, I mean, that could be another 20% of production right there increase learning presidential.
Right.
Can you imagine writing 20% more than what you guys just did in that one weekend? Holy cow. Holy
That's
cow.
Right.
And it pays fast. I mean, presidential does pay fast. Cornell, what was the biggest selling point for your clients that you saw?
Biggest selling point was return of premium, and I don't want to get stuck or pee in a cup.
Okay. Don't want to get stuck or pee in a cup. And they would just come right out and say that, or did it come out when you were going over the letter?
Basically, I would sit down, talk to them a little bit, and they would say, this is the one where I don't have to get this up, isn't it?
People scared of those needles, I guess.
People scared of the needles.
Mm.
And I just comfort them by telling them what the right thing to check for.
What was the product breakdown? What percentage was HomeCertain? What percentage Saver Select? On and on.
I would say 70 to 80% were HomeCertain, and I had a couple of Saver Select, but they were older. Only time I would ever pull out Saver Select is when I would find that somebody would say, hey, I have this, but I've had this for 10 years, and I want to upgrade it, and so I had to compete with something that someone already had, and it was more like a term product. So they were already stuck in a price range of where they wanted to be. So after I said what I had, they said, okay, I'll pay $50 more a month for that.
Okay.
With Saver Select.
Okay. And now, and either one of you can answer this, but this was asked specifically of Cornell in this email. It says, you know, you're out in California where there were bigger mortgages than we're seeing here in Dallas for sure, on average bigger mortgages. With that, how were you selling so much HomeCertain? I mean, there's a limit to 250 to keep it non-medical on HomeCertain. How were you closing the HomeCertain cases, even with the bigger mortgages?
Well, I'll go ahead. As I said before, the mortgages were anywhere from 150 to 500, so it wasn't very hard at all, because if I ran into somebody who had maybe, for example, I ran into an older couple who had a $500,000, $600,000 mortgage, and basically, they would say, hey, Cornell, I don't want to get stuck. So that automatically told me, well, great, I have a great product for you. This is $250,000 mortgage insurance, along with $125,000 accidental. That's $375,000. Is that sufficient for your needs? Well, our mortgage is only $500,000. That's the main gist of what we want to take care of. Once we get this approved, if we think we need more, I'll call you guys back once this gets approved, and we'll come back and give you a little bit more information.
Because you're planning on going back out there, I assume.
Well, I got three more appointments. I got three referrals of those out there, so I'm fixed and ready.
Plus, I understand there's more leads coming in.
Oh, that's scary, isn't it?
You know what's scary is NAA distributed another 15,000 leads this week across the country, and the inventory only went down by 5 leads.
Wow.
In the country. Isn't that scary?
Wow.
So now when an agent comes to me and says, I can't get leads, I go, well, okay. There's 13,000 people in the country, 13,000 families in the country right now that are begging for insurance, and we don't have the agent force in place to go sell them. That's tremendous.
Unbelievable.
Tammy, what do you say when the customer says, I want to think about it?
Well, I tell them, and I've learned this on the teleconferences, just wouldn't it be better to think about it under a covered perspective and get them covered right then, you know, and get you covered right now. You can think about it. If you change your mind, you can call me.
Hmm.
I've never had anybody call me.
That's strong. Cornell, what do you say when somebody says, I want to think about it? And typically, I'm guessing, this question came from an agent, I'm guessing the only place you'd get to think about it is after you show the prices, because I don't know where else you'd get it. But what do you say, Cornell?
One thing I say is, great, how does a month sound to think about it? They'll say, yeah, a month sounds great. Okay, fill this out. It'll take a month to cover you. This doesn't cost you anything whatsoever, because it's going to take 2 to 3 weeks. Get this approved, and I'll call you up once it's approved, and that should have the time zone that you're looking for, and you're covered while you're thinking about it. Now, what's your social again?
So you, both of you, overcame the objection and then closed again. You overcame what they asked, and then you went back to the close, and that's beautiful. I don't know if everybody caught that. I'm going to repeat it. I'm repeating it mostly so I can learn it, but also so everybody else can make sure they heard it right. But when they say they want to think about it, you almost sort of sucker them a little bit and say, well, how does a month sound? What if I gave you a month to think about it? Man, that's awesome. That'd be great. Okay. Well, what we're going to do, fill this out, you got a month to think about it, and in the meantime, you're covered. I think that's beautiful. And that's what Todd was saying a couple weeks ago in a sales meeting. Maybe it was last week. He said, what we're going to do, what we will do, and that's, you know, instead of saying, well, what you should do, or here's what I'm going to do, or here's what we're going to go ahead and do, that's pretty strong. Tammy, if you, this is an emailed question, this isn't coming from me, so don't get mad at me.
Not bad.
Well, I just want to hear how you respond to it. I'm not going to try to put my spin on it at all. I'm just going to read it as it says. If you never back off of HomeCertain, well, but you said you do back off sometimes based on age or based on mortgage amount. But if you never back off HomeCertain, what do you say to hook them on HomeCertain only when they can get quoted a lower premium on a medically underwritten program?
Most of the time, somebody, just like Cornell said, they don't want a medical. That's the whole reason they responded to the leave to begin with. They don't want a medical. And so I always try HomeCertain first. We can always, you know, decrease a little bit of the benefits to get it in their price range.
Mm.
If that's still not good, then I can say, well, you know, I can get you something lower, but you're going to get a medical.
Mm.
And when I tell them that, normally they don't want a medical. They've already filled out the lease saying with no medical exam. That's what they have in their mind.
Hmm. Cornell, any thoughts? I think that's great. That's a great answer. Cornell, any thoughts?
What was the question again?
The question is, if you never back off of HomeCertain, well, let's take that part of it out, because you guys, sometimes we have to back off of HomeCertain. But what do you say to hook the client on HomeCertain when they can get quoted a lower premium on a medically underwritten program?
Well, the main thing a lot of people, like Tammy just said, is a lot of people don't want the physical, but the main thing that I love about NAA so much is they've already built up the program before you walk in the door.
Yeah.
But once you walk in the door, all you're doing is creating value again. And if you've done your job and created value, mortgage insurance, it's no competition at terms. So I've had several people after I've sold HomeCertain say, hey, Mr. Anderson, once I get approved, can you come back next week and give me a term? I need life insurance. Done your job properly and told them this is mortgage insurance, built it up with some of the, you know, additional riders so that it's beautiful the way it should look.
well, once you've taken care of that situation, they're thanking you for paying a little bit more because they know they have a better product. So anyone that even comes close to showing a term, they'll call you up and say, Ms. Anderson, now come back and give me life insurance. And I had two or three people tell me that. Come back and give me term in a couple of weeks.
You know, when Hudgens taught me this business 6 years ago, he said, and we were selling Home Certain 6 years ago, he said, if you're doing your job, at the end of the appointment, the client will ask you, can you also sell me some life insurance?
Right.
And the big point that I would love to make, and you said it, I mean, Cornell, that is so perfect. NAA is advertising this product. So, yes, the person could get quoted something lower on a medically underwritten policy, but how would they even know that? They don't know that unless you bring it up. Why would you bring it up unless you're doing a bait and switch? Because we're advertising the mortgage protection product. It's important to keep the main thing the main thing. Let's see. Okay. Ask that question. And... Well, this is a good question. I'll answer this one. Everyone seems to go to California. Why? There seems to be many, many leads in Arizona. And I can see who sent this, but I don't know the actual name because it seems like the email is under kind of a code. But I can answer that folks are going to California because there's a ton of leads there, and we just haven't seen that. Our eyes haven't drifted to the Arizona part of that lead distribution page, but I'm sure if there are continuing to be multiple, there's 1,000 leads in Maricopa County, which is Phoenix, Arizona. There's 1,000 leads left over in inventory. Those keep hanging around. I guarantee you that people are going to start traveling to Phoenix as well. Cornell, why'd you go to California instead of Phoenix?
I went there because I have family in the California area. I already kind of knew the area. and that was funny. I should say that I knew the area because once I...
just shy of 13,000 a weekend. The trick is go where there's leads. If you like Phoenix, and what I advise is, if you know somebody there that you can stay with, and even better, somebody there that you can stay with and borrow a car, man, that's a no-brainer. It just lowers your overhead tremendously. That just seems like a no-brainer. But I got another question here. I know we're running over, but I think this is good stuff. I'm a believer in the Home Certain profile sheet. Do any of you guys use that Home Certain profile sheet?
That part I just missed.
No.
No? What about you, Cornell?
I profile them on my laptop.
Okay. So you say, here's all the bells and whistles, you run the numbers, and you tell them the price.
Exactly.
Is that what you do to Tammy?
Exactly.
Okay. Okay, on the phone, do either one of you tell people that you're coming from out of town or out of state, or are you just saying that you're the agent that works the area?
If I'm going out of town, I tell them I'm coming out of town. I try to create an urgency so they're there and they show up to their appointment. I want them to know that I'm flying 2.5-3 hours, then driving, and sometimes they ask me just to see me. And I tell them, oh, no, not just to see you. We had an overwhelming response in your area and try to make them feel all their neighbors are getting it.
Cornell?
Exactly the same thing. Just raise that urgency, and I think that's why I did so well, because almost 90% of the people I've seen, this is the first time I actually ever went out and seen 90% of the people were waiting for me for the first time. I think it's because I created that urgency.
Okay. And this may be the last question here. Do you guys, either one of you, have you gotten somebody that says, I'd rather deal with a local agent? Or that question is one question. Or another question is, why don't you have a local agent that you can send to me? Have you gotten that at all?
Actually, I had that my last appointment. But this gentleman, he was sitting on a $1.5 million house. And usually they have financial advisors, financial analysts, and funny story, as I looked down, he showed me the development. He was a developer for a home, and his house sat on a hill in the project that he was developing. It was a $10 million, $15 million project.
Mm.
So I already knew, but his question to me was, Ms. Anderson, this is great, and he asked me, does anyone ever have problems with anyone since you're out of town? And I said, well, since we have an overwhelming, we're trying to take care of you guys as soon as possible, and because we have an overwhelming response, just like those beautiful homes you're building now, we can't get enough people in here to take care of you. So it's all going to the same company. You don't have a problem with me being out of state, because once you get this plan, it is taken care of through a multi-billion dollar company. I'm just a messenger.
Good stuff. Jamie, have you gotten that at all?
Yeah, and it's just pretty much the same thing as just Cornell said. You know, I've had it where they've said, why is there no one here? And I just said, you know, we have just had such an overwhelming response. There is, you know, that I have flown in to take care of your needs as soon as possible. Because I've even had people tell me, you know, I filled that out a while back. And they think a while back is 3 weeks ago. You know, I filled that out 3 weeks ago. Why did it take someone so long to respond? I said, well, you know, we have just an overwhelming response. We have a great product. We have a great company. And I start selling right then and there on the quality of the product, the quality of the company, and ask them, you know, I've even gone to one appointment and asked them, do you know anybody?
Perfect.
You know, chance to recruit somebody.
That's exactly what I was about to say. And everybody on this call who's thinking about traveling or is traveling, it's an incredible recruiting opportunity because we're traveling to areas that have tons of leads. And, you know, it's very easy to say, well, listen, we've had too much response to this. It's really overwhelming. We're having, you know, agents fly in from all across the country to take care of this. I just happen to be from Dallas, or I just happen to be from Houston. By the way, do you know somebody that would like to make an extra $1,000 a week or even $500 a week, maybe even up to $2,000, $3,000 a week, doing what I'm doing now? Do you know anybody that could help us with this response rate? And be ready to pass out business cards or take down information, because there's a huge recruiting opportunity. And it goes back to what, you know, how Lisa Halomo was recruited by Ralph. They see how simple what you just did was, and they go, yeah, I could make $1,000 a week doing this. Well, $1,000 a week isn't chump change. That's $52,000 a year. Plus, doing that kind of production, you probably end up winning a free trip from F&G or Shenandoah or somebody. That's really going to be a nice trip. So there's all kinds of fun reasons to do it. Anything that you guys had to add, or Ralph, is there any point that I've missed asking them?
One thing I just wanted to add real quick is, I think it's a matter of just having energy, being excited about what you do, and once you get into a home, and so the excitement and the energy of the product you're showing to the people, you get them pumped up, you get them excited, and you show them that it's the value of mortgage insurance, and it takes away from term altogether, and they buy easily.
Mm. That's good stuff. Tammy, anything to wrap up with?
Well, you know, you were talking about the new agents earlier and wanting to travel and that kind of thing, not doing so well in their backyard or whatever. And I approach things a little differently. I don't call the leads like I'm trying to sell them something. I go in where I'm calling you, I'm doing you a favor because, and I don't tell them that, but I go in with that attitude. I'm responding to something that you sent me. And when I go to their home, I'm here to sign you up. This is what you asked for. That I'm doing something for them, which I am doing something for them. They don't even feel that they have a salesperson at their door.
Yeah. Yeah. Let me ask you this, Tammy, and I don't know how I missed this email come through, but I've gotten this email and I just thought it myself. What is your phone script? If you can give us, I mean, obviously it may take longer than need be, but just give us your phone script if you don't mind.
Okay. Well, to start off with, before I ever started selling, I set appointments for Ralph.
Hmm.
So I was, you know, doing a lot of appointment setting before. So that's almost a key. And I would start off by saying, you know, is Joe in? Yeah, this is Joe. Hi, Joe. This is Tammy with Mortgage Protection. I'm calling because you filled out a form excuse me, you filled out a form, sent it to me, wanting mortgage, life, and disability coverage. Do you remember filling that out? And he'll say, you know, yes or no. If he says no, I go into his personal information.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, oh, yeah. Well, I'm calling to let you know that you and your wife both qualify with no physical exam. We have several benefits that we can offer you. And I go through the benefits that are right there on the lead. And because they've already read the lead.
Right.
And I tell them, I said, what I'd like to do is set an appointment with an agent in your area. I call as an appointment setter. I don't call as myself. And I just tell them that I'd like to set an appointment with them, and have an agent that will be in their area. And I give them a choice of 2 days, you know, Wednesday and Thursday, which one sounds good for you. And if they say, well, I'm off on Friday. Well, I may be able to keep them extra in that area for Friday. What time would you be available?
Hmm.
Then I usually get a time at that point. I verify their address, ask them if there's any pre-existing medical conditions, and give them the agent's name, which is me. Tell them to expect Tammy at the door, and if they have any questions, they can give me a call.
So you never say your name in the script as
no.
as the scheduler?
No, and the reason I don't do that is because if they know that I'm the agent, that I'm coming to the door, they'll try to get prices over the phone. Why do they have any reason to see me?
Right.
And I started doing that when I first started because I was setting appointments for Ralph.
Right.
And so I was calling, this is Tammy with Mortgage Protection, you know, and I was setting for Ralph. And then when I first started selling, I was setting for myself, and I didn't get as many appointments as I could for Ralph because I kept getting the question on the phone, well, I need to know how much it is. Well, it depends on, you know, what you pick. You get to design your own policy. And they'd say, well, okay, this is what I want. Design it and tell me how much it is. And so if I'm an appointment setter, I can kind of tell them, you know, I don't even have access to that software, but that's what the... You know, that's what the appointment is for.
Mm.
And that tends to get the appointment a little easier than if I tell them that I'm the agent that's coming to their home.
Outstanding. I like that angle, calling as if you're the scheduler.
Yeah, what's really funny is when I get to the home and they say, well, I told that girl that, you know, I told that agent or that appointment setter on the phone this, this, and this, and I know they didn't.
Well, what do you say when they say that?
Say, oh, well, she, you know, she failed to write it here on your form. I'm sorry, you know, let's try this angle. You know, I just try to change it. You know.
So you don't argue with them?
No, I never. They're always right. They're always, you know, I'll have a talk with her about that.
Yeah, I'll be sure to give her a good tongue lashing about that one.
She should have asked you that. She didn't give you the website, which I always give the website.
Yeah.
I always tell them, you know, look up Old Mutual under your search engine. Investigate the company before she gets out there. You'll love it. Mm. And so that way I have a little bit to fall back on when I get there and they say, well, I don't really know anything about the company. I want to check out the company. Can you call me back next week? Well, they had the website.
Right.
They could have done it before the appointment.
Yeah, the scheduler didn't give you our website address?
And I've had them tell me no, and I know they're flat out lying.
Yeah. Well,
but
once you know somebody lies, you know they lie.
Yeah. that's one of the ways that, you know, that I make my appointments, and I tend to be a little more successful that way than when I'm trying to make them for myself.
Outstanding. Cornell, let's hear what you do. Do you... Very similar, or?
Man, I can't touch that. That's the telemarketer term.
Okay, then. We'll wrap up then. I love that both of these have said a couple of times in this call, you know, I picked this up on a call. I picked this up on a call. So I hope everybody on the call today has picked something up on this call, a call that these folks keep saying they learned, you know, stuff on another call or on this call. So, thank you, Tammy and Cornell and Ralph, for giving of your time and your knowledge. We certainly value it and don't take it for granted, and we appreciate you serving the team. And as a result, we hope to be able to serve you. So thank you. And guys on the call, remember,
how somebody has fed into your life when somebody needs feeding, be sure to feed back into them. In that movie, Pay It Forward, while it was cheesy, has a good message to it. Somebody helps you, you need to help somebody, and that's how the team serves the team, and that's how we continue to grow and continue to bust records, and how the Fitz Group as a whole, as a team, will be number one by the end of the summer. So congratulations to you guys for an outstanding month of May. Today is wrapping up the final production, so make sure you get all your production in to count for your own personal numbers and your own personal goals. And this concludes the second month of the second quarter. We have one more month, which happens to be a five-week month, and then we're done with half the year. So, guys, figure out where you are on your goals. Figure out where you want to go. Now's a good time to call F&G and all the insurance companies and find out how much you've been paid so far. Now's a great time to start pushing for that income ring and getting that ring so that you can walk around with a little bit more swagger than you already have. Congratulations, guys. We're very proud of you, and we're proud of the work that you're doing. See you next week on this call. Be sure to tune in about 45 minutes to NAA's call. Looks like they've got Jamie Leon from F&G talking about some of the F&G products. So not a bad call to miss. Talk to you guys later.
Bye-bye.